Welcome to the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dierman, where Jerry reads a chapter from the New Testament and gives us key insights and life applications along the way. For more information about the Solid Life Journal and reading plans, visit solidlives.com. And now, let's get into today's reading.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from the New King James Version, the Apostle Paul writing, and he says this, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast." And of course, those of you that were with us in yesterday's reading, you would know that it seemed like he was boasting, but some of his boasting was very interesting because he was boasting about how much persecution he went through, among other things. And so it says, "It's not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." And he's going to get into this in this chapter, the fact that God has opened things up to him in visions and in revelations, Holy Spirit revelations of truth from the scriptures, which would have been for him the Old Testament, but also just revelations, fresh insight in revelation. So thank God for the word. Now, there are some people today that feel like they can read that and say, "Oh, I get revelations too," and start adding things to the Bible that contradict the Bible and that are not only unscriptural, but also they're false. They're not true. See, and so the Holy Spirit gives us revelation, and we need to come back to the Word of God to make sure that our revelation jives with the Word of God, that it's corroborated by the Word of God. But, you know, the devil also gives so-called revelation and even can give so-called visions and such. So we have to be careful. And this is why we're so blessed to have this book, the Bible, because we know this is true. We don't know every vision is true. We don't know every dream we have is of God. And we certainly don't know that every revelation is from God. But we come back to God's holy written word. And that's why Jesus gave it to us as a standard so that we can measure anything else that comes to us against God's word. So he says here, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Verse 2, I know a man in Christ, and he's talking about another man, but I think most scholars would agree that he's really talking about himself, but like Jesus would talk about himself in the third person, the Son of Man, Paul doesn't want to brag on himself. He just mentioned, "I'm not trying to boast," but he said, "I'll talk about a man. He said, let me just say it as a man. But I think everybody believes, or most everybody believes, he's talking about himself. But he says this, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven." So let me just say what I believe he's saying. He's saying 14 years ago, I was caught up to the third heaven, but I don't really know if it was in my body or out of my body. I really couldn't tell. God knows. And then in verse 3, "And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities or weaknesses. Verse 6, "For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest," here it comes, verse 7, "and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn." See, now he's talking about the revelations that he received. So I think this flows together that man he was talking about that was receiving visions and revelations and caught up to the third heaven, to paradise, that's Paul. And he received visions and revelations and such. Verse 7, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me or beat me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, let's just stop and unpack that, because I tell you what, our human insecurity or our self-esteem in spiritual things really gets to us here, because most believers see themselves as so spiritually weak, as if they don't know what's going on, as if they really can't make any difference and such. But you know, Jesus doesn't talk to us that way, and neither does the Bible. The Bible talks about us as if when you're born again, you're in Christ. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. Jesus said, I'm giving you the authority over all the power of the enemy, and this will drive out demonic spirits. This will cure sicknesses and such. He told them, freely you've received, freely give. And so Jesus believes that by being born again and then receiving the authority in his name, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, receiving the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, the weapons of our warfare, the armor of God, etc., Jesus believes that we're a force to be reckoned with. But most believers don't see themselves that way. They see themselves as not being able to do anything about the devil. Most believers still call out to God and say, Lord, come bind the devil. And that's so unscriptural. No place in the New Testament does God tell us as believers to pray for God to come down and to take care of the devil for us. No, God tells us what? He says, in my name, cast out demons. Jesus said, Mark chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18. James said in James 4:7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, the 8th verse, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. And so the Bible just talks matter-of-factly about this, that as a born-again believer, you have authority in Jesus' name, and you should confront, rebuke, resist the devil. And James even said, and he will flee from you. The devil will flee from you. He doesn't only flee from God, he flees from you. And so this is the way that God sees a born-again believer that has the authority in Jesus' name and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the way that God sees us. This is the way we really are. But that doesn't mean we see ourselves like that. See, we see ourselves with such an inferiority complex, as if we're limited to our sin or our struggle here and struggle there, the weaknesses of our flesh and such. And so Paul is going to bring us to this, that he went through a severely tough time. Severely tough time. So notice verse 7 again. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So let me just hit a few points in this key verse. And you just have to read it instead of reading into it. Read it instead of reading into it. Let's take it a piece at a time. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, some people instantly say pride. And you know, that could include some pride, but he's saying exalted, elevated, above measure. But what's the measure? Okay, watch this. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. In other words, Paul's saying, God revealed so many truths to me. I was flooded with revelation. Paul the apostle had more revelation than Peter, James, John, and the 12 that walked with Jesus himself. Paul had more revelation because he received it by the Spirit. He wasn't distracted by seeing Jesus do this and that and the other and such. He purely received these things after the fact, after Jesus ascended and went back to the Father. He purely received these things by the Holy Spirit. So it became much more accurate. He wasn't distracted by all of the surroundings of the context. See, and so he said, lest I should be exalted above measure by what? It's like, what made the elevator that lifted Paul up so high lift him up? What was the impetus? What was the power lifting him up? He said, by the abundance of the revelations, lest I be exalted above measure. It was the revelations pushing him up. He said, lest I be exalted above measure by the revelations. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, God said, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Well, when you get knowledge, guess what? You don't get destroyed. Because now you're not ignorant. In fact, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, ignorant people get taken advantage of. Ignorant people get destroyed because you don't know things. And so because you're ignorant, then things come at you and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to discern what's happening. But Paul said, that all changed for me. God flooded me with truth. He flooded me with insight as to how things work in the spirit realm, how things work between God and us and the devil and such, and how the whole truth of God, he said, it opened up to me. And he said, when that happened, that lifted me so high that now things that the devil used to be able to do, things that used to happen to him, destruction that used to happen, deception that used to happen, being taken advantage of, he said, couldn't touch me anymore. But notice this, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. He didn't say by pride. He said, by the abundance of the revelations, he said, there's something that was given to me. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me or to beat me. In other words, he's saying the revelations of the truth exalted me so high. He said, but lest I be exalted above measure, there was also given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to beat me, to resist me, to persecute me at the same level of the revelations. Now, in the last chapter, you remember, Paul went through, I was beaten with rods 5 times. I was stoned. Several times I received from the Jews 40 stripes minus one, shipwrecked 3 times. And he said, perils here, perils there. And I mean, he went through this whole list of horrible things that happened. What is he talking about? This is what he's talking about. That Satan was given freedom, was given the liberty to resist him at that level. At what level? At the level of the measure of the revelations of Christ. Well, we know this from Luke 12:48. What did Jesus teach us? He said, to whom much is given, much will be required. To whom much is given, much will be required. And so much revelation was given to Paul. Let me say it this way. Much ability was given to Paul. And with that ability, now the enemy was allowed to resist him at the level to which Paul was able to handle it. You remember that when Paul said, he said, no temptation has overtaken us except what is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape. Do you remember this? So we won't be allowed to be tempted above what we're able. There's a measure. There's a limitation. God will not let Satan just slaughter somebody. The temptations and what comes at them is only something that they're able to handle. Well, when Paul's ability was increased dramatically, guess what also was increased? God allowed the enemy to only resist him at that level. So as that level of knowledge, wisdom, insight, faith, revelation, authority, as that level increased with these revelations of the truth of who we are in Christ, well, guess what? God allowed the enemy to resist him at that level. And so read it again. Listen, lest I be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Somebody said, what was that thorn in the flesh? Okay, hold on. He said, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me or to beat me. He tells us what that thorn in the flesh is. It's a messenger of Satan. We could say a demonic spirit, a demonic messenger sent against Paul. And you could see in the previous chapter, he rallied people against him and such, caused shipwrecks, all kinds of disasters against him. But he was given the liberty to do it at the level of Paul's revelations. And so, to whom much is given, much is required. Somebody said, well, I don't want to know anymore. Oh, yes, you do. And it doesn't matter how much you know, you can overcome the temptations that come against you. But we do want to know more. And here's why. Not only do we want to overcome the devil for ourselves, but we want to be able to overcome the devil for other people, to present to them, to convey to them the truth of God's word. And this is what Paul was doing. But let me tell you, this was tough on Paul. It was tough on Paul. So let's keep reading. Watch this. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me or beat me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now watch this. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. That's what Paul said he did. Well, where in the New Testament or in the Old Testament does the Bible say that's what we need to do? We in the New Testament particularly have been told, as I mentioned before, in my name, cast out demons, Mark 16. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you, James 4, 7. Resist Satan, steadfast in the faith, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. The Bible tells us to confront the devil. But what is Paul doing now? He said, a messenger of Satan was sent to beat me. And concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say when a demonic spirit, a messenger of Satan attacks you and comes against you, that you should plead to the Lord to take care of it. Why? Because what you've been given as authority in Jesus by grace, you didn't earn it. This was all given by grace. Your authority in Jesus' name was given by grace. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, was given by grace. You've received what you need to overcome the devil. In my name, cast out demons. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, you've been given that already. Doesn't say to plead, but he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded three times. Now, what does three times tell you? This is not working. It didn't work the first time. It didn't work the second time. And Paul said, and guess what? It didn't work the third time either. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And Jesus answered. He said to me, notice the red letters, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, a lot of people read that as saying that Jesus said no. In fact, one translation, I'll just say translation with quotes, because it really didn't translate the words, because this word is not in the Greek text, any Greek text. But one translation even says that Jesus said no. Well, Jesus didn't say no. No's not in there. See, and so you shouldn't add to it. But this is the mindset of so many believers. They just think, well, I can't do anything. And God just wants us to just be beat up by the devil. Well, that's not true. He doesn't want us to just be beat up by the devil. And Paul earlier in this book even said, God delivered me from these things. He does deliver us, and I believe he will deliver us. Do you remember that? Way back in, I believe, the first chapter. And so notice he says here that Jesus responded when he said, I pleaded with the Lord. Jesus finally responded and said this, my grace, what is grace? What I've given you, you didn't earn it, but I gave it to you. My grace is sufficient. Now, what does sufficient mean? Does sufficient mean insufficient? See, he's trying to get rid of this messenger of Satan. And Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. Sufficient means enough. What I have given you by grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, this is Jesus talking, my strength is made perfect or complete in the middle of weakness. So Jesus is not saying, no, I just want you to get beat up. I just want this messenger of Satan to beat you just to keep you from walking in pride. See, that's the simplistic way that a lot of people approach it with their inferiority complex. No, it's not that at all. No, Jesus is saying, Paul, I know you're going through a tough time. I know that this messenger of Satan has stirred up all kinds of things against you. But what I'm telling you is the things that I gave you by grace in my name, the authority, the word of God, the power of the Spirit and such, he said, the weapons of warfare, the armor of God. He said, my grace, what I've given you is sufficient. You don't need me to come and to take care of this for you. What I've given you is sufficient for you. He said, for my strength, and you know Jesus has strength. He said, my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. So Paul goes on to say this, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest on me. See, he's not saying, so I'm just going to boast in my infirmities and, well, just have to endure it. He said, no, I'm going to boast right in the middle of my weakness. I mean, when I'm at my weakest point, instead of pleading, I'm going to boast. So he said, therefore, most gladly, look at it again. Therefore, most gladly, right in the middle of verse 9, I will rather boast. Now, what does the word rather mean? That means instead of and preferred. I will rather boast in my infirmities rather than what? Rather than plead. So Paul said, look, I tried to plead with the Lord three times, and God just kept saying, Jesus said, my grace, what I gave you is enough, because my strength is made perfect even in your weakness. He said, therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in the middle of this infirmity, this weakness, this pressure situation that comes against me, these attacks. I'd rather boast. He says, and here's what happens, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Pleading for Jesus to come do something that he never promised he would do for you is not the ticket. Paul said, no, I'd rather in the middle of this weakness start boasting as to who I am in Christ, boasting as to who Christ is in my life, what his name is to me, what his armor is to me, what the promises of God are to me. He said, I'll boast in these things that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Well, what happens when the power of Christ rests upon you? Are you still getting beat up? I think not. Jesus didn't get beat up by the devil, did he? No, he didn't. And so it goes on to say, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. In other words, saying, bring it on. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. He's saying, yeah, these things do happen. And they do. They do. You're not immune to these things that happen. In fact, like Paul said, he said, when the revelations lift you up, you'll have more that come to you because of it. And so he said, I take pleasure in these things, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He said, when I'm at my weakest, he said, I begin to boast in who I am in the Lord, and I am strong. He didn't say when I'm weak. I guess that's just what it is. I'm weak and God just helps me to endure. He said, no, when I am weak, I am strong spiritually. I am strong. I have become a fool in boasting. In other words, people look at me and say, why are you boasting? Look what's happened in your life. You look dumb when you're boasting. But Paul said, no, I'm not dumb. I know something that you may not be able to see when you're seeing all these attacks on my life. I know who I am. I know who Jesus is in my life. I know what authority I have. And I am going to overcome these things. And so I've become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. In other words, he's saying, listen, the signs of an apostle with miracles and everything, oh, they were present in my ministry. He said, but what about you? In what way were you inferior, Corinthian church, to other churches, except this one thing, that I served you free of charge, and I didn't have you give into my ministry and sow in financial things into my ministry. He said, forgive me this wrong, because maybe I should have called on you to do your part in how this works in the gospel. And when I say how this works, let me clarify. Even back in the Old Testament, God had the Levites who would take care of the tabernacle or eventually the temple and such. And among the Levites were Aaron's sons, the priests, and that was all the tribe of Levi. And they were pulled out from working in farms and with flocks and herds and businesses and such. But the other 11 tribes were to bring in the tithe and the first fruits and the various offerings and such to make sure the Levites were taken care of. And so way back in the Old Testament, God set up a system that there'd be certain people that would serve in spiritual things, and they would serve everybody. And then the others would respond with material things. And Paul said, that happens too. That happens too. That Paul said, I serve in spiritual things, but you should also be serving in natural things to perpetuate the ministry of spiritual things. And so a lot of people don't understand that. They just like look out for number one. But this is how the Bible works. This is how the kingdom of God works. And we all play our part, and thank God for it. So he goes on to say now, in verse 14, now for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. I'm not looking to get something from you. I'm seeking you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. He said, I have a fatherly love for you. I'm not trying to get something from you. I want to come and give something to you. Verse 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. He says, seems like the more I love you, the less you esteem me and love me. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? In other words, I sent people to you. Did they take advantage of you? Of course, the answer is no. I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Of course not. Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. So Paul said, I'm concerned now that you're not understanding what I'm saying here, and that when I come to you, I'm going to find out you've been sinning and compromising, and I'm going to have to be strong and bold and confront that. And so I'm not going to find you like I'm hoping to find you, and you won't hear me and see me like you're hoping to see me. So he's saying, please listen to what I'm saying, and let's walk in the ways of the Lord. Let's walk in the truth. Let's despite adversity, let's pursue obedience and fulfill the callings that we have. And that way, when I come to you, we can have sweet fellowship together as those who are willing to sacrifice to serve the Lord our God. Well, that was a big chapter, and that was a little lengthy today. But let me tell you, getting through Paul's thorn and to understand that, because we all go through these similar things, and we shouldn't think that God doesn't want us to overcome, because he does. He does.
Thank you for joining us for the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dierman. And thank you to those of you who have partnered with Solid Lives to help get this daily podcast and other resources like it to thousands of people around the world. If you would like to partner with Solid Lives, visit solidlives.com/give. To find out more about the ministry of Solid Lives, how you can be a part of this church planting and disciple making movement, or for more great teachings and resources by Jerry, visit solidlives.com. We also want to invite you to check out Jerry's other podcast called The Jerry Dierman Podcast. Here, Jerry shares with us at least weekly from God's Word, challenging us and equipping us to fulfill the amazing plan that God has for our lives. You can find links to this podcast, as well as Jerry's YouTube channel, online at solidlives.com. Thank you again so much for joining us, and we'll see you right here tomorrow as we jump into the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dierman.